On the 15th of June, it was my privilege for the second time in 27 years to again preach in my mother tongue in South Africa. I can assure you it was an emotional moment, but then on the other hand, I was so nervous to speak my own language again that I didn't realize what was happening all the time. It was great to be there and to share in the love and joy, but also the pain and the concern of so many of our friends. On that specific morning, we had more than 60 parishioners from the past that we really knew and grew up with, coming from all over to attend that specific worship service. And I told our group that plays our instruments in the first service that they have nothing to fear. They are far better than the South Africans. What a privilege it was. Maybe I can say when I grew up that Alan Paton wrote the book Cry, the Beloved Country, which finally led to a huge change in the country when a different government took over following the era of apartheid. You will ask, are things better now? I can only say the beloved country is still crying, and we wept with them. What do we do is the question this morning when tragedy strikes. It has something to do with our Independence Weekend, with our nationhood, with what we were reminded of on Memorial Sunday. When tragedy strikes, our theme for today. Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him, and then his brothers also wept, fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" And that is the question, our theme for this morning. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Our New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Here ends our scripture readings. Have you noticed how quick people are to assign blame when tragedy strikes? A classic example was a few years ago, shortly after the initial shocks of Hurricane Katrina, when we could hardly believe our ears, hearing some so-called spiritual leaders say that this hurricane was God's punishment for the gambling in Biloxi and for all the sin and fornication that was going on in New Orleans. Sometime later, we also heard the arrogant declaration from different quarters that God has now joined the jihad, the so-called holy war against America. So parties following disaster, parties from opposite sides, are usually quick to force their particular misconceptions about God down the throats of all who would listen. We often see the evil that people can do. However, we also see a spirit of sacrifice and service in heroic men and women during times of tragedy. Amongst them are ordinary citizens, firefighters, police officers, young and old, rushing into fires, joining rescuing parties, sacrificing themselves to help others. That is true. There are different reactions to every tragedy. Not only condemnation, but also heroism. It happens here and everywhere across the globe whenever unexpected tragedy strikes. But there is a question behind all this. Where is God really in all this? Do you sometimes wonder when you hear about these things, about the role and the place of God in these awful events? It's a difficult question. And even theologians differ in our times about these questions and the answers that we need to give about these questions. I believe that the Bible does give us some insight into this matter. We just heard the story of Joseph, the favorite son of a man named Jacob. Now, Joseph's own personal tragedy, shall we say, Joseph's own little 9/11 occurs when his brothers become overwhelmed with jealousy and when they, his siblings, conspired to kill him. "Come now," they say, "let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him." Joseph, you see, after all, was the brother who seemed to have everything, the brother who always seemed to get his way with their father more than they did. Clearly, whatever the brothers would conspire to do against this spoiled little brat as they saw him, this little Joseph, they could say, he had it coming. Oh yes, he was looking for this. Maybe so they thought. But then we know the biblical story takes some twists and turns. And at the end of Genesis, there was a famine in the land of Joseph's birth. And at the same time, Joseph was rising to power in the land of Egypt. He even became the governor of the land. And not realizing that it was the brother they earlier on tried to kill, his brothers appeared before this governor to plead for food to take back to their homes. And then, finally, in a dramatic moment, Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers. And immediately they fell down before him and they say, "Oh, we are here as your slaves." Can you imagine their fright, their fear, when the moment of truth came? We can say they knew that they did the crime. So right then they expected to also do the time. That was the law of the time. It only seemed fair. Nevertheless, Joseph had a different point of view. Listen what he says. "Do not be afraid." But then he asks a question. "Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to destroy me, I am not in the place of God, and therefore I will not judge you. Have no fear, my brothers. I will provide for you and your families." Am I in the place of God? No, I'm not. And at that moment, Joseph focused on reconciliation rather than revenge. Still, the question comes to us through the centuries. We ask the question from time to time. We asked it after Katrina and other devastating storms, after earthquakes, recently across the waters when hundreds of thousands of people died and were left homeless. So many tragedies are happening in this time. Tell me, brother, sister, we are mature people. We think about these things. Where is God? What is your answer? Where is God when all these terrible things happen also in our times? I think the answer was partially given by Joseph. God was in Joseph at that moment. Am I in the place of God? No. God speaks through me. God works through me. God is in God's people. God is still in God's people. And when we discover this truth, we as God's ambassadors in an often wicked and terrible world learn a powerful lesson. That's how Joseph began his statement to his brothers. "Brothers, am I in the place of God? to condemn you, to have you punished? We know the answer. Of course not. Joseph was not in the place of God. Thank God. God was in and was working through Joseph. Sadly, we often put ourselves in the place of God rather than letting God put us in our place. So the question that I had to ask myself, the question that we all maybe need to ask, have we been playing God in our judgment, in our condemnation, or letting God play us? There are heated debates and questions are still raging across America. It seems as if we are more confused than ever before. We know some of the questions, and we know there are different answers in our minds. We are not sure. I often think about these things and often pray about them. For instance, are researchers playing God when they create clones in the laboratory? Others are asking, are judges and juries playing God when they condemn criminals to death? More recent, are politicians playing God when they use military might to remove a dictator or end a civil war or eliminate weapons of mass destruction? There are no easy answers. God's people need to be alert when these questions are asked. The truth is, we are indeed and wrongly playing God when we judge and when we condemn others for whatever reason. We are not in the place of God. The opposite is true. We are God's people. God's people as servants, as ambassadors, as witnesses, as we seek to extend a helping hand, bringing forgiveness and reconciliation to the world. So, again the question, where is God when it hurts? Friends, the answer to that question is still another question. A question that needs to be asked from this pulpit today. Where is the church when tragedy strikes? And even more personal, where are you and I when tragedy strikes? If we are truly God's people, we know where we should be. We should be out there, busy, binding up wounds, reaching out and comforting the grieving, and offering food to the hungry and the starving. And when people see that, they will know that God is there. God is in God's people, working through God's people. And people will then not ask, they will see, they will understand and know that God is in the presence of His people on earth. When tragedy strikes, you will recognize God's people. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making His appeal through us, even in the midst of the most horrifying of human events, God is with us, inviting, urging, and sending us, not only in the midst of crisis, but always every day of our lives. So may I suggest that today, as we also reach out to one another, as we share bread and wine, may we reach out and touch one another as we receive the tokens of God's love and forgiveness. I will hold from this pulpit, and you will from wherever you are. We will hold the Christ light for you in the shadow of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, and when you laugh, I will laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow until we have seen this journey through. So won't you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. But then, please pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Amen.